All right. Praise the Lord. Father, we just come before you with thanksgiving. We come before you with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We thank you that the name of Jesus is the name which is above every name. And Father, we thank you that as we read through the scripture, as we read through the Psalms, as we read through Psalm 119, written by David, Lord, his memoir, his journal of what the Word of God does and what the Word of God means and what the Word of God promises and how the Word of God transforms and changes us. Father, we thank you that this Word would transform and change us today. Thank you that we're reminded of your Word every day by you. And we just give you thanks and praise, Lord God, that it's transforming and changing me and from one degree of glory to the next. And we just give you praise, and we trust you, Lord God, that this this promise is a promise that is a fulfilling itself promise, because it's made by you. And anything that is promised by you is manifested and produced and brings forth much fruit. So we expect it. We have a great expectation. We have a great hope. So, Father, we just ask you this morning to share with us and open our hearts and deliver to us the word that you want us to receive. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You got your expecting hat on today? You should. Every day. Every time you come in here, you should have your expectation cocked and ready. That is a terrible metaphor. All right, praise the Lord. I put too many notes in this book. All right, let's look at Psalm 119, verse 49. And the section we're in is Tzayin. Everybody say, let's start with a TS. Tzayin. Tzayin. You now know Hebrew. Good for you. Amen. You now know Hebrew. That is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Again, these Psalms are divided into 8 verse stanzas. That's the word I was looking for last time. I couldn't think of the word stanza. These are in 8 verse stanzas, and they 8 verses at a time. So we just go through them 8 verses at a time. That's just handy dandy for Bible study, isn't it? I mean, you can't preach on 8 verses any longer than at least, 2 hours. So, And if you're Pastor Jim, you could just preach all night on one. I mean, let's look at that first verse. Verse 49 says, remember. How often does God say remember? He wants you to remember. He wants you to remember. But here's a request. This is different. This is great. Here's what a difference today is that let's read this verse and find out what God is saying or what David is saying. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. You know, first time I really, really read that verse, I looked at it and said, okay, and you've heard this a lot, is folks saying, remind God of what he said. Remind God of his word. But I didn't hear that. When I first read this, when I read this verse, I said, that sounds like that David is asking God to cause me to remember. And then the end of the verse tells me that what happens when I do remember his word, when I do remember his promise. It says, remember the word to your servant. And that word remember there, that word remember is not only remembrance, but it's also to mention. So context is everything here. Is to mention or to remind. Remind your servant. Remind your servant. Remember the word. Remind me of your word. The word to me. God, remind me of the word. Mention it. Speak the word to me. Tell me of the word upon which you have caused me to hope. Remind me of the word. Remind me of the word. So I'm not reminding God of His word or telling Him to remember what He said. I don't think He forgot what He said. Right? He didn't forget what He said. But I want Him to remind me, because what happens to me, I get up every day and I forget it. I get up every day and something else jumps up in front of me. But I want Him, I'm calling on Him to remind me. Remind me of the word to your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope. So I'm even putting isn't that awful to put the onus and the burden on God? Somebody said, no. Let's put the burden on God. Let's put the burden on God. Is God, remind me. God doesn't need to remember it. I do. Amen? I need to remember. So remember the word to your servant. So when you're thinking of that, reading that, think of it in that context. Is God, remind me of your word. Remind me of the word upon which you have caused me to hope. And that hope is what? That hope is a consistent expectation of God's mercy and love and goodness. I constantly, and that may sound like, you know, something that's kind of quick and easy to say, but I tell you that you want to every day remind yourself and have God remind you that He's always for you. He's always on your side no matter what the trouble is. Here comes the trouble, bam! You know what? God's on my side. You know, one comes from the left, one comes from the right. The wind comes, the waves come, and here comes Jesus walking on the water. Amen? Jesus comes walking on the water. Jesus, Peter said. Yeah. If that's you, bid me come to you. Come on ahead. Bid me come to you on the water. Come on. So Peter steps out of the boat in the middle of a storm. You're going to step out of the boat in the middle of a storm? Are you crazy? I mean, the boat's all I've got. At least it's dry ground. Well, it's not dry ground because it's filling up with water. But, you know, at least it's, you know, something solid under you. But Jesus said, go ahead and step out of the boat. Step out of the boat. It's no less dangerous out of the boat than it is in the boat when you're with Jesus. Amen? It's so true. And so that's what has caused me to hope. His promise has caused me to hope. There is nothing that can happen to me that can cause me to be broken or to walk without joy or walk without hope. Now, yeah, for a minute, the wave looks intimidating. You remember? I mean, they're in the boat. The boat's not even in the notes. But that boat that it was moving and swaying in the waves, it's just living. Jesus said, let's go to the other. He sent them on to the other side. He was going to meet them on the other side. Well, that's going to be a long trip because he's going to walk. But here he comes walking on the water. Because in the middle of trouble, Jesus is right there. He's right there. He's right there in the middle of my trouble. How many know trouble comes every day? Trouble comes every day. It's not just trouble, like big trouble, like, you know, death or disease or something. Trouble comes every day just in the form of doubt and unbelief, doesn't it? I mean, you just have every opportunity every day. The enemy just loves to come in. Just like when the scripture says, you know, we grow. Isaiah says, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That's how the enemy gets you. Is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That's how the enemy will drag you down. It's just a little bit at a time. Just one little unbelief at a time. Just one, and you go, yeah, well, that's another one. And then you start making a list of how many times God failed. How many times things didn't work out. How many times things didn't work the way that God wanted, that you wanted them to work. You know, but God has got the plan, and He's bringing the plan to pass. And no matter what it looks like on the outside, no matter what road He takes and sends you across, and then you think He's going to walk around, it's going to take 3 days or something, you're going to be waiting for Jesus. Yeah, God is taking care of you. He's taking care of everything that concerns you, no matter what year it is, no matter how many times you've started over. Amen? He's taking care of you because He's got a plan. He knows the plan from the end to the, from the beginning to the end. Amen. He knows it all. This is the word. Remind me of the word. What's the word? The word is, I've loved you and I've always cared for you and I'm taking care of you. Everything that concerns you. When you wake up and something's different, it's okay. I've got that handled. Amen? It's so powerful. So wake up every day. He's got it handled. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, He's working everything for my good. All things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that are, who are the called according to His purpose. You know, so if you're 16 or 14 or, you know, whatever you are, you know, if you're young and things don't work out the way you thought they were going to work out, I'm talking to some people in here, not others. When you're 14, 15, 16, 12, you know, and things aren't working out the way you wanted to, mom and dad aren't doing things the way you wanted them to do, that's okay because God has got your back. God's got you in a totally appropriate and proper place, and He's carrying you. Amen? Where's your kids, Leah? Leah, I'm preaching to your kids. Praise the Lord. You can tell them. Well, I know you already tell them. So, praise the Lord. But God is doing that. Even the little kids, you know, He's teaching them that no matter what happens today, honey, no matter what happens today, God has already got it planned and He's taking care of it. And you cannot be harmed. You can't be hurt. Amen? Amen. Oh, it looks like I got hurt. It looks like I got hit or fell off a bicycle or hit by a car or something. Listen, we're not talking about those things. We're talking about the life. So many things happen in life. No matter what is occurring, I want you to rejoice. I want you to give. This is the word upon which He's caused you to hope. See, David's written 176 verses of a psalm of everything that His promise has promised, and don't sweat it. Don't sweat when it doesn't look like the promise is coming to pass, because it's coming. It's coming to pass. It's coming to pass right now. Amen? Which has to do with also your growth. You know, we talk about your growth in Christ here is that you're not performing, but He's performing. And then you get all depressed and get all down and down in the dumps and looking at yourself in the mirror and looking at your life in the mirror and thinking there's, you know, things that just haven't been working out. No, when that thought comes, you immediately take that captive. Take that thought captive. That's an evil thought. Amen? That's a vain imagination because it's not born out of the Word of God. It's not born out of the promise. You know, I didn't want to be at this church. I wanted to be at another church. Hey, just trust God. I mean, if that's not your choice, trust God today. Trust God today. God's in both churches. Well, He's not in that church, glory to God. No, He is. He's right there sitting next to you. And He heard your cry. Lord, get me out of here. And God is taking care of you. Amen? Are you happy yet? Yes. I mean, just enjoy this. It's so good. It's a great ride. It's a great ride. I didn't want to get on that roller coaster either. There, lost one. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't worry, Shannon. He'll be back. Okay, verse 49 said, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is, okay. That word remember there is zakar. Say it, zakar. That's to mention or to remind or to refresh upon which you have, listen, caused me. He said, David says, this is the word upon which you, God, have caused me to hope. Well, He caused you to hope. Your hope is there. Your hope is born of God. Okay? So it's not something you kind of worked up. You didn't work up hope. You didn't work it up. That was a gift of God. Huh? So this is the word upon which He has caused you to hope. So if He's caused you to hope, He's going to finish it. He'll finish the work. So, and again, this is not wishful thinking, but this is the certain hope in God's faithfulness. So it's not, you know, the word hope is so many times used like, well, I hope so. Yeah, it'd be nice. It's like more like, I doubt it, but, you know, stranger things could happen. You know, I just don't know if God's that good, is what you're saying. No. See, I told you, He'd be back. So it's not wishful thinking. The hope of God is not wishful thinking, but it is it is born out of the promise of God that He gave to you. All right? So again, we're not asking God to remember His promise, but we're asking Him to remind me of His promise. All right? Now let's look at 50. This, to continue on, this is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has quickened me. So this is a gift of God. This reminder is a gift of God. It is my comfort in this my affliction. Now, how many of you are afflicted? You know, once we get later in the psalm, it'll say it's good for me that I was afflicted, because then I was hoping. Then I began to hope in God. Yeah, we'll get to that later. You know, in a couple weeks. But he says it's good. The affliction of the flesh is okay. It's not. I'm not just making that up. Actually, David said it right here in the psalm. For then have I hoped in your word. So afflictions, it's not God's, it's the affliction that happens in this body. Amen? It's the big affliction that happens in this world, in this body, and in your mind and in your body. And, you know, he said, take up your cross. Take up your cross and follow me. What's your cross? Believing in God, believing in His promise in the middle of trouble, right? You know, we talk about sanctification, which is, you know, when Pastor Jim talks about growth and discipleship, we talk about chair five. That's chair five. Chair five is, after faith comes discipleship. What's discipleship? Leaving this world and following Him. Leaving the idea that this world is of any help and following Jesus. So that's what that hope is discipleship and dying to the flesh. Letting the flesh go, those things which are a problem to you, those things which are something that's destroying you. That's the love of God breaking you off from this world. Because you had a certain way that you did things. Everybody has a certain way that they grew up and they learned how to deal with trouble and they learned how to deal with, some people learned how to just go hide in the back closet. Some people learned how to punch people in the face, you know. You know, different people learn how to deal with things on different levels. And so, but Jesus is now changing that. You know, if you were the person who hid in the closet, now He's going to have you punch people in the face. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, what you could do before, he didn't want you to do that. He wants you to let Him do it. Amen? So He said, this, verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has quickened me. Your word has made me alive. Okay? So he says, let's look at Romans 4:21, or just write it down. Abraham, Romans 4:21 says, he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. This is my comfort in my affliction. In other words, Abraham was bumping along, you know, with the promise of God, but he had been fully persuaded that what God had promised, he is able to perform. That's you. I'm not going to ask you, is that you? I'm going to say, that is you. You are a man of God. You're a woman of God. You're a child of God. You have been called by Him. This is His word to you. He's reminding you of that word. This is your comfort. This is your comfort in your affliction. In other words, when you wake up and you're afflicted, there's comfort right here. It's that this is the promise, and what I promised, I am able to perform. And that was what Abraham said. I am fully persuaded that what God promised, He is able to perform. He further says that he did not doubt, but he in fact believed that what God said, He was able to bring it to pass. That believing that in the evidence, in the face of all evidence to the contrary, that His body now dead. I mean, that's what He says. My body now dead. God says I'm going to have a son. There's a body now dead. There's no way. In the world, this is impossible. Anybody have any impossible situations in your life in the world that come up? And then they come, another one comes up, and then another one comes up, and God takes control of that circumstance. Now, what happens in that circumstance is not yours. It's already been taken over by Him. He's handling it. You don't know how it's going to be handled, but one thing you're confident of is that He is able to perform His promise, even though you don't have any clue how the promise is going to get taken care of. You don't even know how to define the promise other than God is good. And the promise to you is that I'm going to fulfill it, and that's your comfort. So your comfort is, not that I figured out God's word, but your comfort is that He is going to perform it. And I'm fully persuaded that what He promised, He's going to do. And I'm done. I'm done. I'm okay now. I'm just going to get up, brush my teeth, keep going, thanking God, keep preaching Jesus, and knowing that everything is going my way. Amen? You know, no matter whether it's, whatever it is, whether it's a physical issue, whether it's some issue that you're struggling with in family, with some issue you're struggling with somebody who's very close to you, is that rejoice and begin to thank God because He knows exactly how to proceed. And you will know in the hour. As He told Peter and John, He said, you'll know what you'll have in the hour, the word that you need to speak. You know, don't worry about what you're going to say. Well, I thought that's just about preaching. No, that's just about living. Amen? It's just about living. Every day you'll have exactly what you need. Okay, Philippians 1:6, He says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So He began a good work in you, and He's going to continue to perform. You know, you don't even know what that good work is. It's a long-term work. Amen. It's a long-term work. Are you having a good time every day? Or do you have an expectation that you have to have handled? Now, I understand there are things that are like, okay, tomorrow's tax day, so we've got to have that handled. Well, you know what? God can handle things past tax day. You know, what if he didn't get there in time to raise Lazarus, in time to heal Lazarus? Lazarus might die. Ooh. Oh, gosh, that happened. Jesus was late. And guess what happened? Lazarus was raised from the dead. Can God raise things from the dead, even if He's late? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for late. Thank God for God being late. You're okay. You know, even if God is late, you're okay. Yeah, I mean, we don't like it. You know, I'm sure I'm sure Lazarus was nervous all the way to the point of dying. You know, and of course, Mary and Martha, you know, just always had an opportunity to get mad at Jesus. In fact, when He shows up, just, Jesus, Master, if you'd been here, I mean, she was being real sweet about it, but dude, if you just hurried up, my brother would not have died. I mean, just say it. Just saying. He said, she actually had hope in her. She said, but I know that He is going to live again. He will live in the last day. So, you know, we'll see Him in heaven. And Jesus said, I'm the way. Where is He? Take me to Him. Then we get nervous when He says, okay, roll the stone away. Whoa, whoa! Then we get nervous about when Jesus starts saying things that are weird. Like, roll the stone away. Like, dig up the grave. We could go preaching off on that one, but we won't. Praise the Lord. Okay? So, His word, His promise is my comfort in my affliction, isn't it? His promise is, so I'm comforted. No matter what my affliction is, I'm okay. Are you? Well, it's iffy. No, I'm okay. Yeah, I mean, what about little girls who can't walk? What about, you know, all kinds of things that, you know, can go wrong in this world? God is a good God. He's made a promise. He's taking care of you. You can dance every day, can't you, Dolores? You can dance every day, even when things look like they're not danceable. That table's too small to dance on. Amen? Be like dancing on the head of a pin. Just dance anyway. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, for your word, listen, next verse. For your next portion is, for your word has quickened me. So, this is my comfort in my affliction, because your word has raised me from the dead. I didn't even think about Lazarus until just now. Is that your word has actually raised me from the dead. Your word has quickened me. Amen? He said, in Hebrews 11, 12, talking again about Abraham, he said, therefore sprang even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sea, or stars in the sky, in multitude, and as the sand by the sea, innumerable. So in other words, there was no way that Abraham could even have a kid, and all of a sudden he's got kids galore. Kids all over the world. Does anybody know that Abraham had more kids? I mean, apparently it's a mutual deal, mutual problem. Yeah, you had Abraham, who was as good as dead, to produce. And Sarah, of course, she's laughing, you know. How can I have babies when I'm old, you know? So she has Isaac. Well, you know, Sarah up and dies later. And Abraham's still alive, and he marries Keturah. Well, that miracle's still going, because he had 6 more kids. Anybody know that? I know you did, but you know. I mean, the guy had 6 more kids. It's the miracle that keeps going. Wow. One of the kids was Midian. You remember him? Remember Jethro, you know, Moses' father-in-law, the tribe of Midian? Yeah, so, you know, these are guys we heard about. All right. So, him as good as dead, God raised it from the dead. Amen? So he says, so for your word has quickened me. So right here we have the word of God who has quickened Abraham's faith. You have the word of God that's quickened your faith. Amen? Your life. Your daily life. All right? Now look at 51. Now here's the bad people. The proud... You know the proud, right? That's not us. That's just the proud. That's the bad people. Okay? The proud have had me greatly in derision. I mean, these guys are making fun of me. They're mocking me. Yet have I not declined from your law. I mean, it's easy to kind of lighten up, you know, when people are giving you a hard time. It's easy to lighten up. Yet I have not. Or it's easy to doubt. When people are looking at you going, he'll never show up. God will never. He'll never show up on your behalf. Things will never. The promise of God, it ain't never going to happen. Right? I mean, it's like that. Is that people, the proud have had, they're laughing at me. They're laughing at you. What if you're in school? They're laughing at you. You know, even you can even be in a Christian school and you can have people laugh at you. You believe in that? Are you kidding? Yeah, Jesus is coming one day, but you know, he didn't heal people. You kidding me? You know, no, God's good for everything. He's good for whatever ails you. He'll heal you. He, in fact, likes you, even when you mess up. Terrible thing to say to kids in school. you don't want kids to mess up, so you tell them, don't mess up. You know, but God likes you when you mess up. Boy, there's confusion. You want God to not like them when they mess up, right? It's just good Christian teaching. God's mad at you when you don't do well. But the problem is they carry that on into adult life and they can't fix it. Isn't that right? Problem is, no. The fact is, you messed up and you messed up bad. But you know what? I love you. Jesus loves you. And he's working in you to do what's pleasing in his sight. Amen? So don't do that again. And if your flesh messes up again, I'll probably spank you. But Jesus loves you. And I love you. So the proud had me greatly in derision. Yet have I not declined or backed away from your law. I have, you know, even when you have every opportunity to decline or to back off of your faith. Abraham had every opportunity. Job had every opportunity to back off of that. You know, in fact, Job 23:10, I've told you before, he says, he knows the way that I take. Job says this, in the middle of his affliction, in the middle of his talks with all of his friends, not at the end where he gets free, but he says, he knows that a way that I take. And when he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. So right in the middle of your mess, right in the middle of your trouble, God, he says, he knows the way that I take. You say this, is that he knows the way that I take. He knows right where I'm at. And when he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. Jonah had messed up. He said, I'll just die. Just throw me off the boat. Well, God didn't want him to, God didn't have in mind for Jonah to die. So he had prepared a fish to swallow him up. So he's praying in the fish for 3 days. And the fish finally spits him up on the coast of where he's supposed to be preaching. Uber. Be careful what Uber you get in. You sure you picked up the right guy? Absolutely. So the proud have had me greatly in derision, but I have not declined from your word. No matter what's happening, no matter what the trouble is, I will always confess God is for me. That God is for me. All right? I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. I remembered your judgments, your law, your word, your promise. Those things which you have said, I remembered them. I brought them to remembrance. I rehearsed them. The promises that you've made, the judgment that you have meted out. A judgment for you is Jesus Christ has taken all of your sin. The judgment for you is righteous. Righteous in Christ. So I remembered your judgments and have comforted myself. Jim talked about that, has been talking about that the last few weeks. Remember the word? What's the word? Comforted, to repent. Comfort yourselves. It's nacham. You remember that? That's that word right there. Is I remembered your what? Your judgments. And have comforted myself. Oh, wow. So praise the Lord. His judgments must be in my favor. His judgments are in my favor. A lot of times we think of judgment as bad. We're going to get judgment. Judgment's coming on this country. You heard that? Yes. All your Facebook friends, you know. Judgment's coming on this country. Well, where's it going to start? On you? No, on the bad people. No, if judgment's coming on the country, it's starting on you. Isn't it? Isn't it? But that judgment is for you. The judgment is on your behalf. Judgment is to be is to bless you and to remove illness, sickness, to remove the problem. Judgment's like surgery. Let's take out the cancer. Amen? Let's take out the cancer. Let's do that. Let's take out the thing that you're... What's the cancer? The cancer is the thing that's opposing God's promise. That's unbelief. Why didn't they enter in? Unbelief. Why didn't Moses enter into the promised land? What did he do? Anybody remember? What did he do wrong? Struck the rock. How many times? Twice. Now, the first time they came around that rock, you know, God said, strike the rock. Strike the rock. Well, yeah, that way I can do something, right? That way you can do something. You feel good about doing something. You got a stick, and you're going to do something. You whack the rock. And glory to God, water came out. Oof, just burst forth. Well, then they came back around. Of course, they'd been sinning some more. And that's why they were still in the desert. And they came back around. And here's this rock again. Well, now, He says to Moses this time, he says, strike the rock twice. Is that what he said? What did he say? Do anybody remember what he told Moses to do the second time? Speak to the rock. Well, what good is that going to do? I mean, when you whack the rock, it kind of breaks a hole in it and the water comes out. But if you were to come along and speak to the rock, you know, Moses has been listening to the proud again. They probably said, Mo, whack the rock twice. They were giving him advice. God said, just speak to the rock. So it's better to listen to God instead of listen to people, right? It's better to listen to God than to people. Because, see, Moses, he said, okay, at the end of the day, okay, well, and what would you call that? Unbelief. He said, speak to the rock. And Moses didn't speak to the rock. Moses whacked the rock twice. It worked once. It worked once, whacking the rock once. It's certainly going to work better whacking the rock twice. That's man's thinking. But God said, speak to the rock. And Moses didn't speak to it. He whacked it twice. And therefore, he said, you're not going to go into the promised land because of unbelief. Why could they not enter in? Verse chapter 4 of Hebrews. They couldn't enter in because of unbelief. The Word of God, they didn't mix faith with the Word of God. Mix faith with the promise. So, today I want you to mix faith with the promise, even in when it looks like you should whack the rock at least once, probably twice, but God said, speak to it, I want you to just speak to it. Just speak to the rock. Just say it. Water. In Jesus' name. Water. In Jesus' name. Just break forth water. Amen? So I remembered your judgments of old and have comforted myself. I'm remembering back on what God's done in the past. Now I'm going to comfort myself that He's going to do it for me. Whatever God did before, He's going to do it again. Whatever He did before, He's going to do it for them. He's going to do it for me. Make sure I'm okay here. Okay, verse 33, look at that one. Horror has taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake your law. That's interesting. Horror has taken hold upon me because of the wicked who forsake your law. I want you to take a look at a couple of things. Is this changes you? Your hope in the Word of God and in His promise will change you. Over in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus says, 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets and stone them which are sent to you. How often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not? Behold, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall not see me hereafter, till you shall say, Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Horror has taken hold upon me. Jesus had a love for Israel. Jesus had a love for His people that when they would forsake the promise, that your heart goes out to them. That's what takes place in your heart, is that no matter who it is who is denying the gospel or who is denying you, is that you're not against them in the sense to say, well, you know, same to you, brother. Amen? Jesus, in fact, loved those who hated Him. He loved those who hated Him. Same, and the same applies to you. Same happens in you because you're filled with His Spirit. Horror has taken a hold upon me because of them that forsake your law. So in other words, I'm terrified at what's going to happen to you because you have forsaken the law of God. So my joy, my heart, is to press in and to love you and to teach you and to share with you the gospel. But that's what changes when the promise comes on the inside of you. Things change. Your attitude towards somebody, toward the world changes. Your attitude toward people changes. It's not, well, they smacked me on the left cheek, I'm going to smack them on the right cheek. Twice. Just like Moses and the rock. Once is good, twice is better. No, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus, okay, so you're the king of the Jews. Jesus didn't say anything. He didn't open his mouth to defend himself. But that's you too. Amen? That's you too. In other words, you don't receive offenses for the sake of the gospel. In fact, on the contrary, it empowers your love when somebody is coming against you. It empowers your love because their hatred and their anger is just demonstrating to you their need. Amen? This is just you. This is just what the promise does. This is not what you're supposed to be doing. Okay? Don't take this today. Don't take away from this today. Here's what you're supposed to be doing. No, this is what he does by the promise that I remember what he has caused me to hope. So there Jesus has talked about that. Jesus has said, "Oh Jerusalem, I wanted to gather you, but you would not." And then we look over at Romans chapter 9, and we see Paul doing the same thing. Let's look at that for a second. Romans chapter 9. He says, "I say the truth in Christ," verse 1, "and I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness." I'm telling you the truth. "My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart." I'm going to liken that to the horror that he talks about in Psalm 119 there. "I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren." Wow. I'd just as soon give my, if I could give my ticket to heaven to them, I would. That's the love of God. Anybody else did that? Jesus. Jesus kind of did that. He came and loved you. In fact, he took all of his sin. He became sin for you. He took on your sin and he died the death on the cross. In fact, he died a death loaded with sin. He became sin for us. And through him, crucified sin in the flesh. So sin in the flesh is gone. Amen? Sin in the flesh is, the power of sin is broken. And so for somebody to refuse that, it's just because they don't understand. They just don't understand. So Paul says, "For I wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren and my kinsmen according to the flesh." See how far I wanted to go with that. "Who are Israelites, to whom pertains the adoption." So this gospel pertains to them, and the glory, and the covenants, and everything that has to, and the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. So the reason Christ came was because of the whole law and promises of God to the Jewish people. And yet, they're still looking for a Savior. "Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came," verse 5, "who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen." So that's it. That's it. Is that your... That horror is how you've been transformed. You've been transformed. You no longer look at people the way you looked at people. I mean, they're making fun of you. They're hating you. They're despising you. But you're walking. But you love them. Isn't that weird? Boy, you're weird. Say, "I'm weird." You got to agree. You got to agree. Is I'm weird? Amen. No, you are. You're totally weird. Jesus was weird. I mean, he loves sinners. You know, hey, Zacchaeus, come out of that tree. I mean, Zacchaeus was a short guy. I mean, you know, it's wicked. It's wicked to be short. You know, you should be crucified, killed, hated. But he called a short guy out of a tree and said, I'm coming to your house. I remember when we sang it in Sunday school, he was coming to his house for tea. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Climbed up in a sycamore tree, Lord Jesus for to see. I remember that song, Suzanne. I hate that song. And it rhymed at the end. It always said, "Come, Zacchaeus, come down from there. I'm coming to your house for tea." All right. But Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was hated. And he loved him. He loved Zacchaeus. And then he went and found another tax collector and asked him to be his disciple. Matthew. He asked Matthew to be a tax collector. You know what Matthew's last name was? Or first name? Last name? Levi. He was actually a Jewish guy. But he was collecting taxes for the Romans. How bad is that? Yeah. I mean, it's one of your own people, and he's collecting taxes and making money off the Romans. But I guess it just all makes sense anyway, doesn't it? All right. Praise the Lord. So the fact that you would be horrified that somebody would deny Jesus, and somebody who is really making fun of you, it's kind of the same people who are the proud. And you're horrified by that. And what happens is now you're a lover. You become a lover of those, of everyone who has hated him. One other scripture there is 1 Corinthians 1:23. It says, "We preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness." So, you know, everybody is against us. Yeah, the Jewish people and the Gentiles, they're all against you. But you've got the one thing that's going to save them. You've got the one thing that's going to bring them into eternal life, and that's Jesus. Amen? All right. Verse 54. "Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." I guess it could be your dances too. "Your statutes have been my songs." Okay, Abraham went forth and sojourned. And they're talking about in the house of my pilgrimage. So his statutes are my songs. The promises are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. And I'm looking over at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 8. "By faith, Abraham," he's on a journey. Remember, Abraham's on a journey? "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and went out, not knowing where he went." Remember what we talked about earlier? Is that where you're, the fact that you're going and you don't know where you're going? You don't know where you're going. God said, "Get up and go. Follow me." Remember when Jesus told them to follow me? Well, that's just like, follow me. Yeah. That's not like, hey, we're going somewhere. I thought about that on the GPS the other day. It just gives you the next turn. You hope you got a thing. You hope you got the thing programmed right, or else you're going to end up in Houston. You know, is because you're just following the next turn, the next turn, the next turn, and it doesn't yell at you when you mess up the next turn. It just says recalculating. Got that from Tim Hawkins. Anybody ever heard of that? Recomputing. Is that you just keep following. Jesus just said, follow me. He didn't say, hey, let's go. You know, I said, one guy said, hey, where are you staying? Come see. Just follow me. Jesus just wants you to follow him. Amen? Because if you knew where you were going and you knew what you were going through, you probably would keep fishing. Or keep collecting taxes, whichever one turns you on. So, how did Abraham start? By faith. How'd you start? Remember Galatians? You started out in faith. You're going to finish in the flesh? You started out following Jesus. You're going to finish with a MAPSCO? Hey, Jesus, can I get a MAPSCO? Could you just show me where we're going? That way I'll decide whether I want to keep going. So he said, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, Hebrews 11:8, he obeyed and went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. He was on a pilgrimage. As in a strange country, dwelling in tents, with Isaac and Jacob, with the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country, wistfully remembering the country that they came out of, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. You know, when you wistfully remember, oh, the leeks and the onions, you just, you know, oh, the pizza, you know. It was so good back then. If they had remembered the land that they came out of, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. So he's prepared for you a city. Amen? He's prepared for you a city. I am traveling to a city. Amen? That's what I'm doing. I have remembered your name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept your law. I have remembered your name in the night and have kept your law. The word kept is shamar. And that word kept is not to as much as to have obeyed, but to keep, to guard, to observe, to keep the word of God always in front of you. You remember the phylacteries? Remember where the phylactery was? It's a little leather pouch that the Jewish Pharisees would wear to always keep the word of God in front of them. You remember the mezuzah that was on the side of the door? Is that it would always have a scripture in it. And you would touch that as you go by, just to remind yourself of the promise of God. That's what this entire psalm is reminding you. Verse 55 says, I have remembered your name. And you remember over in Psalm 138, verse 2, it says, you have magnified your word above your name. So why is that? Because the Word of God tells you of His name. The Word of God is exalted above His name only because the Word of God tells you His name. O Lord, in the night, I have remembered your name and have kept your law to myself, observed it, guarded it, kept it, so it does not depart from me. This book of the law, in Joshua, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. That's just a byproduct. It's not the goal. It's just a byproduct. You remember Dagon? Dagon was a god in the Old Testament, and when the Israelites were bringing the ark into the city, they were bringing the ark into the city on the cart, you remember, and then Uzziah touched it, and he died, and they were all mad at God, and they're all mad at David, and what all. So they just shuttled that thing off into the house of a guy named Obadiah. And he was, and in that house there was a god Dagon. The figure of Dagon was in the house, sitting next to the ark. Well, they would come in. They'd come in the next day, and Dagon fell on his face. He was standing up next to the ark, and the next day he was on his face. Well, they put him back up. They did. They put him back up, and then the next day they go back in there, and all of a sudden Dagon's back on his face again. Dagon's back on his face again, with his arms broken off. Something going on here. And besides that, the house of Obadiah was blessed. The house of Obadiah, because the ark was, they just put the ark in his house, and then all of a sudden the house of Obadiah was blessed just by having the ark in the house. Just by having the Word of God in the house. Amen. Hallelujah. Almost done. So that was overnight. And finally, Genesis 15. Abraham, and when the sun was going down, this is when the covenant was made. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. The promise took place when Abraham was sleeping. The promise took place when Abraham was sleeping. Jesus, over in Luke 22, he's praying out in the garden, says, "Not my will, but thine be done." And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as great drops of blood falling to the ground. In the night, I've remembered your promise. In the night, I have kept your law. Nonetheless, according to your will, be it unto me according to your will. And then finally, verse 56, this I had because I kept your precepts. This I had because I kept your precepts. This is the promise that I have. Is that His Word is making Himself manifest in me because I keep His promise always before me. Remember the word to your servant, O Lord, upon which you have caused me to hope. Remind me of your word constantly, Father. Remind me of your word upon which you have caused me to hope. Father, we just thank you today for your promise. We thank you for the glory of God, which is made manifest in us by the Spirit who indwells us, who lives in us, who lives on the inside of us. You promised that the Comforter would bring all things to our remembrance. So, Father, we thank you for the Comforter. We thank you for the Holy Ghost who lives and dwells on the inside of every believer. And, Father, that we ask you to bring those things that to our remembrance. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. That word you have caused me, that hope is consistently built and strengthened. And I'm walking in it. And I'm enjoying it. And every day I wake up and I'm thanking you for it. And there is nothing in this world that can destroy the hope that I have because your promise is for me. So, Father, we give you glory. And we give you praise. Thank you for this psalm. Thank you that for your word, which consistently brings the promise and sets it before us and causes us to hope upon your truth. We therefore keep them. We keep your word. We keep your word. We ask you, Lord God, today that your word would constantly be before my eyes. Your truth was constantly before my face. And I constantly hope in you, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what comes up, no matter who opposes, that I'm the happiest person in the world. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I give you glory and praise and thanks. Father, minister that to everybody today. Father, let them receive it today. No matter, especially when a thing comes up that is devastating to the flesh. Father, let hope rise up. Let the Word of God be exalted in their heart and in their mind. Let them walk in joy, unspeakable and full of glory. In Jesus' name, amen.